We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk all Boston sports with Alex Reamer on Sports Radio WEEI.
The bets, John, getting too creative, I think. A little too creative. The preloaded bets.
Hey, that one was built in. If you know, it would have been pseudo-Irish music if I had done that myself.
A little too creative. I don't know. So Wiggy stormed in. He stormed out. Another 2 hours down with the Wig Man. Oh, he loves the Patriots, huh? He loves the Pats.
Loves Andy Isabella.
I know. I'm like joking around. He's like, no, I'm going to tell you about him. Okay, sure. Go on about Andy. No, they've enjoyed it. Wiggy brings the energy. It was much needed on this Sunday morning. No doubt about it. And we did get him to admit at the end of the hour that the Patriots did lose games this season. It takes a lot for Jermaine Wiggins to say anything negative about his beloved Patriots. You'd think he played for him or something. Loves the Pats so much. But finally admitted they did lose games. That's progress. I mean, just easy. Just admit it. They lost out on Adam Humphries. They got beat to the punch, so to speak, by the Tennessee Titans. Mike Reese has it today, ESPN.com. And for Reese to say something like this, I mean, you know that there's something to it. For a franchise that takes pride being on top of the smallest details, it was surprising to me how things unfolded with the Patriots and Humphries. The Patriots willing to offer more than what Humphries signed for in Tennessee, according to sources, but that offer did not come until after Humphries had verbally committed to the Titans. So, it doesn't mean that the Patriots won't make it to their ninth straight AFC championship. It doesn't mean they won't play in their fourth consecutive Super Bowl. As we also talked about, the field in the AFC just gets more and more clear for the Patriots. Especially if Kansas City has to wind up releasing Tyreek Hill. Pittsburgh's taken a big step back. And that situation is just more combustible with every detail we find out. Again this morning, reading that Josh Harris, a former running back, says Roethlisberger purposely fumbled the ball in a game in 2014 to protest then-offensive coordinator Todd Haley's play call. And the video has been circulating around Twitter. It was a game against Cincinnati. And it certainly does seem like Roethlisberger takes a snap, then, oh yeah, I have to fumble this. Like, it seems legit. It seems like a legit accusation. So the path just continues to get more clear for the Patriots. And they still have the draft. They have lots of draft capital. I think they'll probably make a big move. I do. I still think they have something in them. The Michael Bennett acquisition before the legal tampering period even began told me that this could be an offseason where the Patriots make a few big veteran splashes. Maybe Sterling Shepard is a guy they bring in. Mike Reese also has that in his column today. Shepard, this will be his fourth year in the league. Another slot guy at 66 catches last year, 870 yards with the Giants. So that would be a move, and then we can reassess. But as I said yesterday when I was on, we do these shows day by day. We react day by day. And right now it is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and the Patriots' big additions for the depleted receiving corps are Maurice Harris and Bruce Ellington. I'm sorry, that's what it is. So we were talking about that with Wiggy. I've also been mentioning and trending all morning, Celtics, a big win over the Hawks yesterday. I want some Reamer on ball. Ball movement is the movement of the ball, Glenn. Well, I'll tell you, Marcus Smart, that guy is the key to what the Celtics are doing down the stretch, because when they go through their lapses on defense, which they did yesterday, blowing a 25-point lead, nearly
blowing... You talk about ball movement? You're talking about the movement of the ball.
That's why I stumbled. I was waiting for the big O. And now that's the buzzer. You know, news team assemble from Anchorman. That's the call. Ball movement is movement of the ball. Means time to talk some Celtics basketball. But really, the Celtics have their defensive laps down the stretch in the second half of that game. Trae Young is letting them up. And Marcus Smart, three huge steals, strips Young, hits Jaylen Brown for the three that gave the Celtics their 115-112 lead. Then Young's driving inside a few minutes later. Smart steals it again, lobs it to Brown, layup and the foul. Another steal from Smart. Kyrie hit the dagger three, gave the Celtics a 9-point lead with about 2:30 remaining. Huge steals from Marcus Smart. Great defense. And those are just effort plays. I mean, you obviously have to have great hand-eye coordination to swipe the ball like that. But those are great effort plays as well from Marcus Smart. And giving the Celtics a little zap. And you saw it down the stretch, too. The Celtics defending near the rim. Marcus Morris, a lazy-ass inbound pass picked off by Atlanta. But Celtics defending hard near the rim at the end of that game. Were able to gobble the Hawks up, if you will, in the paint. So, Marcus Smart, the key to the Celtics' rebirth at the end of the fourth quarter yesterday, and we'll see what the Celtics do against Denver. Also, we mentioned in trending, Chris Sale, second straight year as your opening day starter for your Red Sox. Low 90s velocity yesterday, but 7 Ks in 4 shutout innings. Hard to argue with that. So, a great sign for Chris Sale, who was held back up to this point. I think the smart move, given how he finished last year with the shoulder, the fact that he was basically a 5-inning pitcher in the playoffs. But, you know, the thing about baseball is, and Tomasi wrote about this week, and it has really come to light with the NFL free agency bonanza, if you will, though I feel like such a cheesy loser describing it, the free agency bonanza. But really, all the moves in the NFL this week, and you look at baseball, you know, Manny Machado doesn't get signed till the middle of February. Bryce Harper doesn't get signed till the end of February, early March. It just shows how baseball has been completely outmaneuvered, to use that phrase again, in terms of the offseason, just completely bypassed by every other sport. And it's a shame because the hot stove used to be a big thing. Although I will say, I think Ken's been saying this on the morning show this week, so I will agree with Ken on this point. I think the offseason gets a little overrated in regards to baseball, because what makes the NFL free agency period so great and such a talker for us is not just because it happens quickly, but because we care about what other teams do, right? The Patriots, up until Thursday, had not made any moves, basically, in free agency. They were the only team that didn't make a move through the first 2 days of the legal tampering period. But yet we care about Antonio Brown going to the Raiders. We care about OBJ getting traded to the Cleveland Browns. We care about the Jets spending money and signing Le'Veon Bell. I don't care if Manny Machado signs with the Padres on December 15th, January 15th, February 15th, doesn't matter. That's not a big talker for us. Ditto for even Bryce Harper signing with the Phillies. So it would be nice if baseball could resuscitate its offseason, the hot stove season, if you will. But I don't think it's as big of a point as people want to make it out to be. What is, of course, is pace of play. And the fact that once again this week, we find out that baseball is kicking the proverbial can down the road in terms of this pace of play. So the pitch clock will not be implemented this year, not implemented next year either. They will get to that in their new CBA negotiations, 2021. I mean, really? The pitch clock, which should be the most simplistic thing you can do to pick up the pace in baseball, they are delaying that. Instead, for 2019, we'll have a single July 31st trade deadline. So no more August waiver period, a single trade deadline. Wow. The home run derby, where the winner gets $1 million bonus. Like, that's exciting for fans. You know, the argument, oh, this is now going to convince stars to participate in the derby. I don't think so. I don't think Bryce Harper is really dying for the extra $1 million to participate in the home run derby and risk messing up his swing and all the stuff that happens with that. And even so, messing up the swing, I mean, right, is that a thing? But that just goes to baseball players. You know, David Price, I'm actually going to pitch slower now that the pitch clock might be implemented. Like, great. It is so short-sighted for baseball. As I've said before, these guys must love pitching to empty seats or people with their heads buried in their smartphones, because that's what you have when it takes so long. Price nearly averaged 27 seconds in between pitches last year. But here's the big one. Here's the big rule change. It's going to change the face of baseball. Fans will vote online for the All-Star Game starters, and then the top three vote getters will take part in a one-day election, which could lead to a bevy, this is from Jeff Passan, of clever electioneering, social media engagement, and displays of personality players rarely show. Wow. I cannot wait for the clever electioneering and social media engagement. Has any real human being ever said the phrase social media engagement? I like your engagement on that tweet. Thank you very much. So I can't wait. I cannot wait until we have the social media engagement All-Star Game fan voting. But really, I mean, who are these people who obviously they acknowledge changes must be made. Yet Tom Werner on with Mutt and Jerry in spring training saying as much. We need to pick up the pace. We're getting lapped. The NFL makes rule changes every year, trying to improve the product. We got to do the same. Manfred has articulated similar sentiments in the past as well. And the best you can come up with is $1 million to the Home Run Derby winner and the top three vote getters in the All-Star game having a runoff election. That's the best you can come up with if you're Major League Baseball. That's the most the players will agree to. Man, oh man. I mean, I've been on the players' side. I think they're getting screwed in free agency. Craig Kimbrell still unemployed. Dallas Keuchel, that's a Cy Young winner, still unemployed. So I agree with the players there. So many teams in baseball aren't even trying to spend money. It's disgraceful. But on the other side of the equation, what are the players doing? I mean, I understand wanting to have leverage heading into a CBA or any negotiation, but killing your sport is not the way to maintain that leverage. It isn't. And the money will keep flowing in because the TV revenue is locked in. But eventually that dries up, and it's just so short-sighted. You want your game to attract new fans, and more importantly, you want your game to attract young fans. And $1 million to the Home Run Derby winner is not going to accomplish either of those things. It just isn't. It just isn't. So I think a sad week for baseball, and it was apparent with the NFL free agency and all the news that came out of that, and then you read that this is their big solution, All-Star Game runoff balloting for social media engagement. Woo-wee! Feel the excitement. I can feel it. 617-779-7937. Reamer Power Hour, shoulders on. Where? I think the... Oh, my goodness. I know it's a sacrilegious for me to say on these airwaves, but I think the Boston Globe published a really interesting op-ed today written by survivors of sex trafficking about the Robert Kraft prostitution case. We've had a lot of conversation and debate the last few weeks sifting through. Was it sex slavery? Was it not? Was it more just run-of-the-mill prostitution? If it is the latter, a lot of people seem like, oh, let's just dismiss that, not a big deal. Well, the Globe op-ed of three survivors of this says differently. I think that's interesting. And also, Gail Miller, owner of the Utah Jazz, she had the right way to respond to racist fans. She was not denying it happened. She was not questioning it. She did not say, oh, these are just a few bad eggs. We're a good city overall. No, Gail Miller, owner of the Jazz, had the right response to vitriolic and racist fans. We'll do that next as well with your phone calls. It's the Reamer Power Hour, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk all Boston sports with Alex Reamer on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family, our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA. This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe. We believe. believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings. From time to time, individual fans exhibit poor behavior and forget their manners. Some disrespect players on other teams. When that happens, I want to jump up and shout, "Stop!" We have a code of conduct in this arena. It will be strictly enforced.
That's Gail Miller, owner of the Utah Jazz. That is the way to respond to racism in your arena. Of course, there's a huge story nationally this week. Russell Westbrook, Monday night, fan taunted him in Utah, told him to get on his knees like he's used to. He captured it on video, so we have the sound. Jazz issued a lifetime ban to that fan, and then, amidst their investigation, they banned another fan for life for a previous incident with Westbrook in the 18 playoffs. The fan called Westbrook boy. In the video, Westbrook fires back, "Don't call me boy." He warned the fan not to say it again. Of course, the fan said it again, and Westbrook. We have Westbrook there. Little commotion. That's all right. And then Westbrook then flagged down security to handle that matter. So two racist incidents in 2 years with Russell Westbrook, and the Jazz took action, banning both fans for life, but they did not stop there, as I mentioned. Gail Miller, her family's been stewards of the Jazz for decades, as she mentioned. She could have just released a statement, a trite statement, cliche statement. "We condemn this behavior. It's not the best of Jazz fans," etc. But no, she took the step to address it in person and admonish her fans in person for basically being racist a-holes. And apparently Utah around the league has a bad reputation. Read a lot about that the last few days, which I was not aware of. But even more power to Gail Miller there. And that's the way to handle it. You know, she didn't make excuses. She didn't say, "Well, every city is racist, people. It's not who, yeah, you know, just a few bad eggs." She didn't say, "Oh, it's a lot better now than it used to be. Yeah, we had a couple racist incidents, but it's better now than it used to be. So what's the big deal?" Took ownership. And that's always been my thing. Whenever people, whenever athletes say they were called a racial slur at a game here in Boston, whenever someone like Rob Parker, even as bad as his Brady and Patriots takes are, says, "I felt uncomfortable at a restaurant here." Bomani Jones says something like that. Or Michael Che. I know these are not the creme de la creme, if you will. But take them at their word. Just like Gail Miller. I mean, we have this on video, yes. But Gail Miller and people in Utah could easily said, "Oh, that doesn't, it's just a few bad fans. Oh, it's just, you know, it's not who we are. People are calling Jazz fans racist. What? We're not racist. You're the racist for calling us racist." She didn't say that. She didn't say that. She took ownership and said, "We had two incidents, and that's too many. And we're at the point now where I'm going to admonish you at center court." So good job by her. That's how to handle that. I also teased, this is sacrilegious to say on these airwaves, but I thought the Globe had an interesting op-ed today, published titled "Dear Johns, an Open Letter to Sex Buyers," written by three survivors of the trade, H, J, and P. H is 19 years old, P is 17 years old, J is 15 years old. The Globe does not disclose the identity of sexual assault survivors unless they want their identities revealed, so that's why they just go by the one letter. They're now counselors at My Life, My Choice, a nonprofit that looks to eliminate sexual exploitation in children. Robert Kraft, of course, donated to them a few years ago, $250,000, I believe it was. The letter is 5 points. They go through 5 points. It's brief. It's good. We are human beings. We are not toys. What we have survived would have broken you. They talk about the pain they suffer. So it's worth reading. But here's the most important point, the last paragraph here. "Now you know. You can no longer pretend that you don't. What you do now matters. Based on our experiences, you are probably a middle-aged man who knows about supply and demand. It is demand that fuels this multi-billion-dollar industry. If you didn't buy people, people wouldn't sell people." And that's the point. I think over the last couple weeks, and Kraft's arraignment is next week, end of March, I think we get lost in the minutiae of whether or not this is the definition of sex trafficking or whether this was prostitution. Does it qualify as sex trafficking? Were they literally in shackles? And the point in this letter, and I know again, here we go, but Kevin Cullen of the Globe spoke to a survivor of this as well. And she said it doesn't really make much of a difference. From her experience, she calls it the pretty woman theory. Oh, it's this beautiful woman who could do anything she wants, but she's chosen to sell her body. Nah, she goes, that's not really it. Everybody is there against their will to an extent, whether or not you're feeding an addiction, you've been misled, you have nowhere else to turn. You do not want to be there. And that's what these three survivors are saying. Again, from their experiences, people are misled. They're deceived. Those who they trust are betraying them. And, you know, let's say does that qualify as sex slavery by definition in a legal sense? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, are they slaves? Are they enslaved? You know, what's stopping them from walking out and going to the police station? Nothing. But when you're young, in these girls' cases, they are underaged. People who you trust in your life mislead you. You have nowhere else to turn. Just go to the police station. Why don't you just take care of that? That's not so easy. It is much easier said than done. Much easier said than done. So that's why, from a law enforcement standpoint, yes, of course, whether or not it's human trafficking matters. But from our standpoint, you know, and I've kind of done a 180 on this the more I've read about it. Because originally I said, oh, that's the story right there. I mean, if there was human trafficking, then wow. This is a real terrible look for Robert Kraft. I mean, even just to go to an establishment that may have had this going on, regardless of whether or not he knew about it, and even police saying if there was, he or none of the Johns had any idea. But originally, I thought that was a story, and now the further we get away from it and the more reading I do about this, I don't think that's as significant. I don't. I don't think it's as much of a difference as maybe we thought, or the fact that just because there aren't human trafficking charges, which there haven't been so far, doesn't mean that people weren't there against their will, that women weren't there by choice. That's what that means. So that's on the table as well. 617-779-7937. Let's grab George in the car. I wants to take things back to our baseball conversation. What's up, George?
What's up, Alex? Listen, hey. I want to make 2 points. The first one is there's no way the NFL free agency is more exciting than baseball, because when's the last time a prominent NFL player actually got traded that made a difference? Usually, when they get traded to 27, they're at the end of their career. In baseball, that's when they're in their prime, is 27 to 32.
Well, you don't think Peyton Manning was a major offseason acquisition for the Broncos a few years
not
ago?
Really.
What?
Not really.
Peyton Manning put up historic passing numbers his first few years in Denver.
Did they win a Super Bowl that year?
But they won one with him eventually.
They won one with an arm hanging by his side.
But George, he put up record-setting numbers with the Broncos his first 2 years there.
Okay, maybe that was okay.
Oh, give me Peyton Manning.
Does that compare to Bryce Harper and Machado?
You don't think Antonio Brown or OBJ are big moves?
He's 31 years old.
He was the best receiver in football last year.
Well, he's 31 years old. The guy on his team was probably better than he was, right, Juju?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
he wasn't.
My next point about baseball appealing to younger fans and making the game, trying to get the game go faster, the problem is, you can't do both, right? Because the younger fans want to deal with analytics, which slows the game down. So my idea would be to get rid of all information whatsoever. You can do it. You can do your scouting beforehand. You cannot bring any information into the ballpark. That way the catchers can't look to the dugout for the coach to call pitches. The coaches can't be looking to see, you know.
So no information at all. How about on the center field scoreboard? Can we have that?
Yeah, you can have that, but no looking through notebooks to see, you know, what this guy does versus a lefty or what this guy's launch angle is versus this pitcher. It's the ground ball pitcher, because that's what slows the game down.
You know what, George? I agree with you there, actually. I think your first point is crazy. I think the big moves are made in NFL free agency all the time, and I do think OBJ will have a huge impact on the Browns this year. Brown, maybe not so much with the Raiders, but that's because the Raiders suck. Nothing to do with Antonio Brown. I mean, the guy has had, let's see here, 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, you know. But I agree. I'm at the point where I am very close to agreeing with George on the last one. Eliminate information entirely from baseball. Yeah. This postseason, some of the games were interminable. They were going through the notes. Okay, should we shift this way, shift that way? Pitching changes, signs, this and that. Oh, it's not the way the game was designed. I can't believe I've turned into one of those people. One of these old get off my lawn types with baseball. But I have. That is not what our forefathers, what the game's forefathers intended. They did not intend the starting pitcher getting yanked after the second time through the order, even if he's cruising with like 60 pitches. Oh my goodness. Third time through the order, can't do it. Look at the numbers. Let's go to the lefty specialist. Nope. And that's the one good rule change baseball is going to implement. Not till 2020, but minimum. Pitcher has to face at least three batters. Good. Good. And I heard read Shaughnessy yesterday in his notes column. Doesn't like that. Says it's arbitrary. It's forced. Yeah, of course it is. But sorry, you abused the rule. You abused the privilege. You know, it's like if you have a kid and you have a soft curfew as a parent, but he continually or she continually abuses that curfew and shows up hours late every Friday night. Eventually, you lose the leeway. Like, sorry, you guys lost it. For years, we had the left-handed specialists, a righty specialist. For years, but it got too much. You abused it, and as a result, you're not allowed to use it at all. Sorry. Yep, you can play video games after school, that's fine, but you can't play for 10 hours straight. And that's what Rob Manfred and baseball did here. They are punishing their egotistical managers and scouts and information heads who think that really, and it's not so, it's more the information heads up above in the owner's boxes. They think that people go to baseball games to watch Yale graduates sit behind laptops. That's what they think. It has gotten to that point. I mean, it's not the way the game was meant to be played. It isn't. And again, it's just short-sighted. It's short-sighted because at the end of the day, this has to be about entertainment. Has to be about entertainment. Tim is in Maine. Tim, what's going on?
Yeah, I want to talk about this whole sex trafficking thing, but let me tell you basically who I am. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a conservative libertarian.
Okay.
Now, as a Christian, God gave Adam and Eve, if you want to believe in them, free will. It's not my place to now turn around and say, no, you can't have what God gave you. So as a Christian, I would never want to vote to limit somebody's free will.
But Tim, we're all born with free will, but not everybody's in a situation in life where they're allowed to have free will.
Okay, if they're being forced, then yes, that's a criminal act. But if somebody chooses to sell their body to make money, though I may be opposed to it morally, you can't legislate morality.
What if they have a debt, though? What if, like these women who are coming overseas from China and they have a debt to pay? Daily Beast had an interview with a woman who thought she was going to get a job at a nail salon. She wound up doing this to repay her debt from the people who brought her over. So is she a slave? Is she in captivity? No, but
defrauded.
Yes.
Fraud. Well, that's a criminal act now. The people who did that should be prosecuted. I'm talking about your average person, whether they come from another country or they're here in America. If of their own free will, they choose to do something that I'm morally opposed to, I would not.
But what if you live with a parent or somebody who says, hey, you know, you're an abusive parent and they're selling you out and go, you got to do this if you want to stay living with me. Or if you have an addiction even. And yes, there are other things you could do, I guess. But a job pay at the local fast foods chain does not pay as much as prostitution. So as a result, you're forced to go into prostitution.
You will always find specific incidences that people can cite. Uh-huh. I'm talking as a general rule. It should be none of them.
Yeah, but I don't think generalities work though, Tim. I think that's a sad reality. As I learned from watching The Wire, you know, a lot of people, these regular 9-to-5 jobs that, again, your local fast food chain don't pay as much as illegal acts. So sometimes you have no choice but to go into something like that if you want to make enough money to eat and live, which I think some of these women have to deal with.
Well, I know this sounds harsh, and believe me, I was a noble dishwasher in my younger days.
Yes.
Some people only have an education to do so much, and that's hard reality, but that's what it is. If you want to improve your lot in life, work harder or get smarter. Do one of the other.
I like that, Tim.
My point is that, you know, enough of the self-righteous, and again, as a Christian, the self-righteous morality where we want to force our values on other people. God didn't do it. Why should we?
Good. But I think Tim, we're up against it. That's a good note to end on. It's a Sunday morning. A little God talk. That's what I like to hear. That's what I'm missing. Usually I'm in church at these hours. Now I'm talking with you folks. So I like that Tim brought that. But that's the problem with libertarianism. I know I've went on this spiel before, but I've been working with Meter too much. I've had spiel. I've said schmuck the last couple of days on the air. But really, libertarianism is great in like a freshman year college dorm. And it's a Friday night and you're sitting around. And the libertarians are staying in on Friday nights, and you're sitting around, and you're, oh, yeah, it's just free will,
we do,
man.
Have to inhabit other planets.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal, but, you know, oh, It's just free will. It's what it is.
I did not read the article in the New York Times. No, I did not.
Okay.
Work hard, play hard. You know, work hard or work smart, whatever Tim said. That's what you got to say. Like, okay, great. But then what about the situation where, again, if you're a single mother and you have no education, maybe you don't even have a high school degree because you had a rough childhood, abusive parents, whatever you had, whatever obstacles you had that prohibited you from graduating college, high school rather, prohibited you from attending college, and your options are you work at the chain store down the street at the cash register for minimum wage, or, well, prostitution pays much more. Like, yeah. Is that free will? Well, one job would allow you to eat and one job wouldn't. So, I don't know.
First of all, just grateful that nobody got hurt.
Thank you. Thank you. That's Gary Johnson. Yes, yes, our man Gary Johnson. I love the Bernie people who wanted to vote for Gary Johnson because, okay, yeah, he wants to legalize weed, but he also wants to bring us back to the Gilded Age. Don't know if you know. Anyway, that's enough of Professor Reamer. I'm going to teach a class on libertarians, I think, at BU next fall. I read, by the way, BU, $72,000 a year to attend now. Congratulations. And do you know why? Because of this alumnus right here. People have heard me on these airwaves for 2.5 years now, bands aside, 2.5 years in totality. And they've said, where'd this kid get educated? So BU, you're welcome. We'll be right back.
Is it okay to still have children?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, God, please. Don't get me started into an intellectual discussion with Wiggy. Like it's like getting into intellectual discussion with that doorknob over there. Please. Oh, please.
Wow. I wish Wiggy stayed till noon. Commitment, schmimitment. That's what I have to say. Got the Mark James Jermaine Wiggins Battle Royal. Wow. For Mark with a C to call you a doorknob. That is something. I'm telling you, I want the Wiggy and James show. Dickerson is out of the picture for the last few weeks. I think next Sunday morning.
We should have LJ draw a cartoon of it, and it's just two doorknobs yelling at each other.
Well, next Sunday morning, I saw the schedule. It's Reamer and James Sunday morning. A little suggestion. How about James and Wiggy Sunday morning? That's a show. That's a show. That's now we're talking. So Mark James is coming up at the top of the hour to take you through the St. Paddy's Day. Have yourself a morning, though. Our president of the United States, huh? No one's ringing in St. Patrick's Day like Trump. First of all, railing against a rerun of SNL. A rerun. Then he gets to defaming John McCain. That's good. John McCain sent the fake dossier to the FBI and media, hoping to have it printed before the election. He and the Dems working together failed, as usual. So there you go. There you go. Very classy. And here's my favorite. So Judge Jeanine Pirro, one of his favorite underlings on Fox, had a bit of an issue 2 weeks ago. She said that Rep. Ilhan Omar is not loyal to America because she's Muslim. So she wears a hijab. So Jeanine Pirro has to question her loyalty to the country. Fox amazingly pulled the show this week, which like never happens with them. So Trump this morning, bring back at Judge Jeanine Pirro. The radical left Democrats working closely with their beloved partner, the fake news media, is using every trick in the book to silence a majority of our country. They have campaigns out against Fox News hosts who are doing too well. Fox must stay strong and fight with vigor. Stop working so hard on being politically correct, which will only bring you down, and continue to fight for your countries. The losers all want what you have. Don't give it to them. Be strong and prosper. Be weak and die. Stay true to the people that got you there. Keep fighting for Tucker and fight hard for @JudgeJeanine. Your competitors are jealous. Don't hand it to them on a silver platter. They can't beat you. You can only beat yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our next Gettysburg Address. I mean, that is quality, quality stuff. So good morning to you, Mr. President of the United States. So Wiggy and I were going back and forth at Adam Humphreys. And again, Wiggy not understanding that. Patriots, yeah, they got beat on Humphreys. They were outmaneuvered. It's okay. Our president was having himself a morning. Top of the morning to you, DJT. All right. And I missed the Wire music again coming out from break. That's okay, John. But now we have more Irish jig music to take us on the way out.
It's the same music.
It's the same music. Okay. I need to get my
Strike
Wire class
for,
again.
For the
I swear I've actually watched the show. I've watched the show. Stringer Bell, my man. Love Stringer Bell.
Hey, no spoilers.
Hey, who the hell was I chasing? That's what I have to say. Or I think it's we were chasing. Anywho, this game is rigged. And this certainly is. Mark, that's another line. See, John, I've watched the show. Mark James is coming up top of the hour. See you, everybody.
Say it, you, the eyes as blue as the words are in the bay. Tuck big chin toward a man of war who was up and heard to say, I'm a free born man of the USA.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.